Okay. If you're listening on the phone, we don't do the radio anymore for anybody that's new or have been here in a while. We're in Heavenly Places, page 148. Subheading is, the title for this particular day, it's on May 21st. It's like a devotional. It's titled The Highest Standard. And I want to welcome any new people. I don't see any guests in here tonight, but the night is still young. All right, it says, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Romans 2:13, I should have used that. Well, maybe I do use that in my sermon tomorrow. And then it says, in the lives of many whose names are on the church books, there has been no genuine change. The truth has been kept in the outer court. There has been no genuine conversion, no positive work of grace done in the heart. You know, it's times like these I kind of miss using Ellen White's writings on a pulpit on, you know, during an actual Sabbath service. Because I could use that tomorrow, what she just said right there. And the reason we don't use it on Sabbath day is because, first of all, she does say in her writings not to use her writings on the pulpits. I just found that out recently. I did not know that for years because everybody knows Nick's a novice when it comes to Ellen White. You know, this is the first time I'm reading this book. I've never read Heavenly Places, but the book we're doing tonight is Second Selected Messages. In fact, all the books that we did all throughout the Sabbath Day Studies that are on the site, the old, I mean, they're still up there. I mean, we've got hundreds of sermons with Ellen White in them. But I never read all of her books, but we did come across that. And it makes sense not to do that because we have quite a few people that come into the church on Sabbath day that used to be Sunday keepers, and they don't know who she is. They don't know who Ellen White is. And so it kind of gets confusing for them. At the same time, they might have a tendency to go and look her up on the websites, the Internet, and they'll find what I found when I first started looking into her. Because I was a Sabbath keeper for a few years, and someone gave me her DVD, and I looked her up online, and I found a bunch of websites that were saying that she was a false prophet, she was a plagiarist, she was a witch, a mason, all this ridiculous stuff, right? But it looked believable. And they even had quotes from her books that looked crazy bad. I mean, oh, she said that? You got to be kidding me, you know? And so what I did was, since I had the DVD and then I knew about the White Estate website, I just took the quotes that they had, word for word, and I put them in the DVD. I couldn't find them. And I put them in the White Estate. I couldn't find them. 80% of the time, I could not find them. In other words, they made those quotes up. And 20% of the time that I did find them, they took her out of context. So, Amen. Prophets and Kings, page 624 to 626, says the words of the Bible and the Bible alone should be heard from the pulpit. And that's what she said. And I never knew that, but there were people that eventually did leave our number. That, the Aikens in the camp kind of a thing, because we were praying for the shaking to occur. If there was anybody in the church that was preventing us from going forward, please, Lord, remove them. And they left. But before they left, it was discovered that they knew about this quote and didn't mention it. And so, praise the Lord that everything worked out. But anyway, that's one of the reasons we don't use it on Sabbath day, because, like, on the street, if you're sharing Jesus Christ on the street, and you know what Ellen White says about this or that, you don't share it with somebody on the street because they're going to go, Ellen who? But if you say Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, whatever, you know, they're going to know that. So, what was I getting at, though? Oh, yeah, the truth has been kept in the outer court. There, and so, like my sermon tomorrow, it's about the Ten Commandments, you know, His law and our character. And there's a lot of ways to look at the law that a lot of people miss. It's not just about, like, take commandment number 6, for example. It says, thou shalt not kill. Well, there's a lot of ways to kill. It's not just murder. And you can actually kill without even killing. You know, you can commit murder in your heart, Jesus said. And so, in that case, this is what she's getting at here. The truth has been kept in the outer court. There is no genuine conversion, no positive work of grace done in the heart. They don't really care. They're just, like Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1 says, they're just those kind of Christians that, want to be called Christians just to take away their shame. They know what they do behind closed doors, but they don't want anybody to know about it. And everybody says, yeah, everybody's got their skeletons in the closet. Yeah, but the key word is skeleton. It's dead. It's past. All Christians, true Christians, have skeletons in their closets. But all the people out there that are doing those things behind closed doors, their skeletons have an awful lot of flesh still on them. Their skeletons ain't dead yet. And they're not even in the closet. But anyway, she goes on to say, he who would build up a strong, symmetrical character must give all and do all for Christ. The Redeemer will not accept divided service. Daily, he must learn the meaning of self-surrender. He must study the Word of God, getting its meaning and obeying its precepts. And there's no gray areas there. I mean, a lot of people say, yeah, okay, obeying the precepts, but, you can kind of like, kind of not do this and kind of not. No. Just give it up. Stop. Sacrifice. End it. You know, like when she says obeying, or when the scripture says obey, it doesn't say when you get a chance. It's just like with the scripture that says the wages of sin is death. A lot of people seem to think that the wages of sin is a tummy ache. I mean, they think that, there's scripture, I can't remember it off the top of my head right now, but there is the one scripture in there that one of the reasons the wicked do the things they do is because they don't die at the moment they commit the sin. They figure God's sitting on, falling asleep or something. It just shows that he's merciful. And so a lot of people go out there and they do these crazy things because, God didn't, send a bolt of lightning and blast me. No, but you may have just contracted some fatal disease that'll take 10 years to kill you or whatever. You never know. Anyway, she says, thus he may reach the highest standard of Christian excellence. There is no limit to the spiritual advancement that he may make if he is a partaker of the divine nature. And that's what we all strive on to, by the way. And she says, day by day, God works in him, perfecting the character that is to stand in the day of a final test. Each day of his life, he ministers to others. The light that is in him shines forth and stills the strife of tongues. Day by day, he is working out before men and angels a vast, sublime experiment, showing what the gospel can do for the unfallen beings. For fallen beings, rather. Yeah, or unfallen. I mean, you get blessed either way. That's one of the neat things about the Word of God. And this, just like the other day, I did something I hadn't done in a while. When I'm at the stores, I hand out tracts or cards. Yeah, usually the cards. And I'll get in a little talk here and a little talk there once in a while. But I kind of went back to the old days because I haven't done the actual foot stomping door to door kind of thing. I haven't done that in quite a while. I just do it as I run into people now and talk to them. But I went to a place I used to work in, an apartment complex. And nobody there knew me. Well, there was this one young girl there that knew me because she knew my daughter. But the people that lived in the building were not the people that lived in the building when I remodeled it and all that stuff back before I went full time. And I got to tell you, I can't wait to get out there and do it again. I'm planning to do it tomorrow. I just, just love sharing with people. The gospel, the truth, if they'll sit and listen, and that's one of the nice things about these apartments. These are government housing / private funded. And you hand them a DVD, they're all on fixed incomes. And it's kind of like a captive audience, but it's awesome. I was even thinking of getting a part-time job. Literally, not I would do it for free. I mean, I don't want to take away from that which the Lord is doing already for us in regards to the finances and the money that we send to do the work all around the world. But just to be able to, like I drive by an apartment complex and I get I tell you, I just get the itch. I want to go over there and says, let me do all the carpentry, electrical, the plumbing, and let me be your maintenance man, but I'll do it for free. And then... because that's how it was before when I was doing the work. Because no one would hire me for computer programming. And I didn't want to really do that work anymore. I did it freelance, but I never really wanted to do it because then it becomes a chore. It's not a joy anymore. But just going out there talking to the people, going there, fix their sink and get to talking. Because they're all going to, everybody knew I was a preacher. But she says, let us not spare ourselves, but carry forward in earnest work. The work of reform must be done that must be done in our lives. Let us crucify self. Unholy habits will clamor for the mastery. but in the name and through the power of Jesus, we may conquer. To him who daily seeks to keep his heart with all diligence, the promise is given. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's, of course, Romans 8, verses 38 and 39. And then she quotes verse 30. It says, God himself is the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Great as is the shame and degradation through sin, even greater will be the honor and exaltation through redeeming love. I mean, that's an amazing statement all in itself, because as disgusting and awful as it's going to be for those that are going to burn up at the end of those 1,000 years, it's going to be overwhelmingly amazing for those that make it into the city. And it's not because we seek to exalt self. We know that the Word of God says those who exalt themselves shall be humbled, and those who, you know, humble themselves shall be exalted. Well, actually, the word, instead of humble, it's a base in the word, but we know it means humbled. And but the thing is, there's so many out there, so many, even in the church itself, there's people out there that want to get on a pulpit, or they want to be a pastor. I know people that have claimed to be ordained, and they never were, because they just want to get out there. And then there's those of us that don't really want to be pastors, and that's because we know what all it entails. We know the work. We know you got to do this, you got to do that. And guess what? That's when the Lord gives it to you, because he knows you're going to do it because you know you got to do it. Whereas the other people that are looking at it as a career choice, they're going to do it when people are looking at them, and that's it. They don't do it when they're home alone. The phone rings, later. No. Big difference. She says, to human beings striving for conformity to the divine image, there is imparted an outlay of heaven's treasure, an excellency of power that will place them higher than even the angels who have never fallen. I mean, think about that. Amen to that. And amen.